We're back on In Focus. You're listening to News Radio KMAN. Manhattan City Commission is the featured In Focus today, and we've got Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Mike Dodson joining us. We are going through the general agenda tonight for the City Commission meeting, which starts at 7 o'clock. And don't forget, you can those meetings are open to the public, and they're also streamed online, cityofmhk.com/TV. They're also on the city's Facebook page and the old-fashioned way, television, Cox Cable Channel 3. Let's take a look at item B, and that is considering a release from the Manhattan Area Technical College from Economic Development Agreement.
Right. This is we've worked and assisted the Tech College with a couple of different projects over the years, about $591,000 in forgivable loans that there's a couple of years left on for reporting, and then they had a $75,000 conventional loan that they've paid off in 2017. Those were to help facilitate additional space that they have there. You know, the Tech College is really challenged because they used to be part of the school district system, and so if they needed to expand or improve a facility, they would be part of the school bond or school mill levy, and so they don't have that ability to even really be able to issue debt themselves. And so they have an opportunity to do some significant roof and HVAC repairs, but they're having to hold on the in their system these full payments for the forgivable loan, and so they're asking to be released from those. They've been performing as required as far as the loan agreements are concerned, and that's been based on some student target enrollments, and they've met the 2019 standard. So they're asking to be released from that so they can redirect those funds to some of their infrastructure needs there at the Tech College. And so their track record's been great. You know, that Forbes just listed them as one of the top 25 trade schools in the U.S., and Wallet Hub just dubbed them the number one trade school in Kansas and top 20 in the nation. So they've been doing some great things.
And this is essentially money that's just being held by them. That's part of the arrangement when you make one of these you make one of these deals with the forgivable loan, they're obligated to hold against that loan. So this will release those funds in order to take these repairs that are needed. Jim has talked to all of us about condition of the roof and the air conditioning systems that have to be moved. So there's no doubt it's required.
All right.
I get my microphone back on here. Back on In Focus, let's go back to the phone lines and a caller here. Good morning.
This may be off the subject a bit, but with the two highest-ranking officials in Manhattan on your station there today, I'd like to give an opinion. I think we can all agree that we've got a beautiful, beautiful airport, and I think we can also agree that there was a gentleman that was pretty strong in getting that all done, still on the board, Rich Jankovich. I think it would be appropriate, your opinion, I think, but see what yours is. There should be something out there at the airport that recognizes him. Did a lot for that. A little background. His father opened the airport in Gary, Indiana, and the whole family flies, and he's really was taking care of Manhattan. A great person. So I'll listen and see what your opinion is. Both of you know him, and he's a genuine asset to our community.
Appreciate that comment. Yeah, I would agree. Rich has done a lot for the success that the airport has had as far as, helping to get jet service here. He was on the airport advisory board, still is. He's actually chair of the airport advisory board right now. And so former commissioner, he still plans, I think, to be active and certainly as an airport advisory board member is active in airport affairs. So don't know if a circumstance will avail itself in the future, but certainly that's something that could be taken into consideration for whatever the project or initiative might be.
And we had Ron was out with us when we did the kind of the ribbon cutting and recognition of the 10 years of service with American Airlines the other day, and so we had the regional representative from American there, and all Ron and I were there, and so was
Rich.
Rich. So I think it's entirely possible we can find some way, a plaque or something to recognize him. We'll have to bring that up with the board and see what we can do.
All right. Thank you for the call, and we'll move on to the back to the agenda here for the City Commission meeting tonight. Got some a couple different ordinances here, ordinances, I should say, on C&D, and they have to do with sewer rates and stormwater rates.
Do water and sewer rates as well as stormwater rates, and this is just something we revisit annually. Last time we had this in front of the commission was during the budget discussion back in August, and really looking at implementing rates for next year. We have almost all of the funds are in some phased implementation based on some cost of service study that we had done for the various plans. In 2020, on the water side, we're in our third and final phase of a three-year plan that would adjust rates by 5% and then 3% thereafter. For example, a low residential or small business that uses two units of water pays about $15 a month, and that would just $15.17. So it would go up about 76 cents per month, or about $9 a year, based on that residential component. And then a high residential would be about $34 a year, and an average business would see an increase of about $79 a year. On the sewer side, similar phase-in period here of a 5% increase, but in addition to that, one of the things that we didn't do when we did this three-year phase-in program was we didn't adjust the base rate. And so one of the things we're seeing on the sanitary sewer side, which again, for residential customers, we use what's called a winter quarter average. And so that 3 months of December, January, February is when you're typically not using outside water and that sort of thing. And it has a best measure kind of what water goes down your sewer lines and to the wastewater treatment plant for treatment purposes. And so one of the things that that base rate tries to capture is efficiency. So obviously you have high efficiency washing machines, dishwashers, all of those don't use as much water anymore. And my wife would argue the dishwasher doesn't work as good because of that. But anyway, the aspect of that is that you use less consumption. And so we're not getting as much revenue as we used to because of that efficiency measure. So we're not proposing, at least at this time, to adjust that. But it is an option that should be considered in the future as far as that winter quarter average of maybe adding a month or changing the months a little bit. But we would recommend that minimum charge be adjusted and also the unit rate go up. You know, we were just talking about the sinkholes we have, that $1 million. We have had to dip into our reserves in the sanitary sewer fund, and we think we need a little bit more added to that to bring those reserves back up. We're hopeful we'll get some FEMA reimbursement funds for that, but we can't count on it. And so we've had a lot of infrastructure improvements that we've needed to make, and we need to kind of shore up some of those reserves in that fund.
Okay. Yeah,
a couple of years ago, we had a consultant come in and look at the way we were doing water and sewer, and he recommended that we go to what might be called the industry standard now, which is so we did some rate flattening and so on. And I think before, we had people who used more water getting it at a lesser rate. And in the context of making sure that we are all conscious about water conservation, that didn't seem to make a lot of sense. So now, if you use more water, you pay more for it. And I think that's probably the way it ought to be, so that we're all aware of trying to save it. And then, as Ron said, when you look out to 2025, based upon kind of what we know are on the books for construction projects to keep our systems healthy, and what we anticipate that can go wrong, you need to save against that, because you certainly don't want to run into a situation where you need a project that is expensive, and then you have to dip into other funds to find it in a particular year. So The staff has calculated all that. We've got some great charts that help kind of visually look at that. And so I think these they've offered us, I think, three options to look at tonight. And so we'll just have to choose one of those based upon what we think is best for all of the citizens.
All right, we've got a phone call here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Hi, thanks. I just do business in Manhattan and drive by the Kansas Entrepreneurial Center and have been driving by it for a number of years. And my understanding is that's an office and a laboratory that's run by the city and the chamber. And you were talking about funding for the chamber earlier. And I'm just wondering what's the plan for that that business? And just wondering if the city and the chamber want to continue to run that business and just the plans for that.
Sure, great question. The city does own the facility and does, in our contract with the chamber, the chamber operates the facility and serves as the landlord for that and looks after the building. We have a number of businesses in there, and was really designed to be kind of a small startup facility. There's a number of businesses in there that are either young in their growth or are moving here, looking at getting a foothold and then transferring out of there and to another location. One of the labs have been especially critical for recruiting some of those firms, as well as creating that ability for them to grow. And it's one of the strategic initiatives of our strategic plan. With the MBAF opening, we have a lot more inquiries for companies that are looking at would like to lease facilities that have labs available, and that's something as a community we're very short on. So I think in the near term, we'll continue to the arrangement that exists, because it is meeting a need, and we probably need to look at some other location that if the private sector doesn't create that. And that's a challenge, because the building lab space is expensive. And so one of the legislative initiatives we have is to look at some ways to help either corporations themselves be able to fund those labs, or some investors that might be able to do that and get some assistance with that. And so in the short term, I think you'll see that facility continue to be a need. That I might just mention that facility does pay taxes. It doesn't matter of the ownership. It is the use of the facility. And so that is fully on the tax rolls for that. So appreciate that call.
All right. We'll take a break, come back with more In Focus after this. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.